I'm Vicki Merrick. The local food report's up now with Allie Burlow. And this time, Allie got some tips in her conversation with Sophie Abrams of West Tisbury about how to deal with wasted food in our homes.
Here's a fact from WCAI's science editor, Heather Goldstone, reported in June of 2016. Food waste is the single largest component of our trash and a major source of greenhouse gas emissions, like methane. Sophie Abrams, the program manager of Island Food Rescue on the Vineyard, is looking at ways to reduce and compost organic waste, like food.
When food scraps go into a landfill, they end up breaking down anaerobically instead of aerobically. So they're breaking down without the presence of oxygen. That is why you get the release of methane gas into the atmosphere from food scraps breaking down in a landfill. When they're broken down aerobically with oxygen in a compost pile, it's not as much of an issue.
Human beings spend a lot of time and resources into the growing and catching, harvesting and packaging, distributing and marketing of food. We buy it, we bring it home, we cook it and serve it, we clean up after it, and then we throw a lot of it away. This cycle is repeated 3 times a day for 3 meals every day. In fact, according to refed.com, a collaborative effort between businesses, the government, funders, and nonprofits, American households account for 27 tons of wasted food per year. That's about $1,500 to $2,500 annually for the average family of four.
It's surprising. Like, it's about 40% that occurs in the home, which you would think, you know, it's all happening at businesses. I don't really throw that much food away. And another piece of it is that there's really, you know, there's a lot of parts of food that we don't eat. Like, we're not eating banana peels unless we're really, really crafty.
The amount of water wasted is an astonishing hidden cost in the story of food waste. According to Ceres, a nonprofit advocating for sustainable business practices and solutions, given the amount of food we waste as a nation, 21% of our fresh water that's used to grow the food also gets wasted. For example, an apple thrown away equals flushing a toilet 7 times. A hamburger in the trash? 16 bathtubs of water down the drain. Some of this information is almost impossible to take in. So what is the antidote to feeling paralyzed or besieged? I think getting practical is a start. In Sophie's case, inspiration came in the form of a book.
My favorite thing that I've read is Dana Gunder's book, The Waste-Free Kitchen Handbook. It is just such an easy read, just how-to manual on how to not waste food.
The easiest place to start is at home. The one thing most of us have in our kitchens, and many of us have at work, is a refrigerator. Getting to know what's in it better and using it more efficiently can actually make a big difference in reducing waste. Gunder's book offers a bounty of advice about the fridge.
Oh, she talks a lot about correctly organizing your refrigerator. So what are the coldest parts and what you're supposed to be putting on the door, and then lots of creative ways for storing your leftovers. Like, you're supposed to have air be getting around all your stuff in the freezer, and, you know, using muffin tins to freeze things and what you can freeze. And it's a lot of, like, kitchen knowledge, I think, that helps not waste food.
Some of Gunder's advice may be more aspirational, but still attainable.
One thing she talks about is like a use first area of your fridge. So you put things that are close to going bad in the front or like in a special section so you know like what you really need to use up. Shopping in your pantry and refrigerator before you go to the grocery store so you know that you know, I already have avocados. I don't need to buy more at the store. You know, and making a list is the biggest easy one.
My mom always told me, eat around the bad parts. She was giving me advice, metaphorically speaking, about marriage. But I think the same thing applies just as well in the kitchen. For instance, cutting away any mold from bread instead of throwing it out, and then transforming it into a bread pudding. Or wrinkled and tired carrots, onions, and herbs, getting a nice long hot simmer in a pot of bones for a stock. And bits of cheese rind stored in the freezer until they can be stirred into a soup, a sauce, or a braise.
There are recipes in this book for using things like broccoli stems and even sour milk, things like that, that you would think are things that you can't eat and actually can be part of really good recipes.
For Sophie, a woman who will gleefully tell you that she loves trash, studying it and doing something about it, she found inspiration, even beauty, and perspective from a visit to the Crapo Hill landfill in New Bedford.
It was amazing. It's actually a beautiful place. I felt like I was on like an amazing nature walk. When we went to the top of it, it's like a little mini mountain. When we looked out over the horizon, you could see one other kind of peak as high as us, and it's also a landfill. So, I mean, it's completely changing our landscape and our environment, and I think we've just gotten out of control with our disposable culture.
For WCAI's Local Food Report, I'm Allie Burlow.
We're putting up some recipes you can make with tired or stale ingredients like panzanella, an Italian tomato bread salad. And we'd love to share any ideas you have for similar recipes or other ways you're reducing food waste. You can call our listener line 508-548-9600 extension 4 or email us through our website capeandislands.org. This Local Food Report was edited by me, Vicki Merrick, for Atlantic Public Media. Thanks for listening.